Okay, we are in the middle of Perek Vav. We are up to Pasuk Yud. Okay, we're up to Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud. Vayamar HaMelech Laman Maher Kaches Al Rosh V'yes Asus Kasher Dibarta. Quickly, take the clothing and the horse Kasher Dibarta. Okay, notice he did not tell him to take the Keser. The Keser is something which he objected to. You can imagine the ultimate shock, the utter shock that Haman experienced when Achashverosh told Haman that he is going to be the recipient of this great honor that you have come up with. What?
And Haman himself has to do it.
Haman has to do it also, and you have to do it. You, after all, you did say that one of the paratimim, who's going to be the one that's going to give honor? The honor is going to be given by one of the elite, one of the paratimim you mentioned. Called the Targum's word, it comes from the word strategy. One of the people in the highest levels of government. Hayashay b'shar hamelech al tapel davar. Tapel here is a very unusual word. Do not, we'll see in the Targum, but do not, lashon of like nefila. Nefila means to fall. It's not just a, it's a very hard word to, which means that don't do it with a half a heart. What does it mean to fall? To fall means you're going along the way, you're traveling along the way, you're walking, and you stumble. So Haman, you think you'll do it, you'll start doing it, but then you'll take out your watch, right? You have to go walk around the entire Rechayef. We got to walk all the way around the block. You got to go walk, and then you'll take out your, oh, it's later, right? You know what? Let's call it quits. Let's go and stop right here. Person is walking, and suddenly he falls. He doesn't reach his destination. Achashverosh warned Haman, I don't want you to cut corners. I don't want you to play games here. I want you to carry out this honor to completion. Don't begin and then in the middle tapel, just call it quits and stop short. Mikol asher dibart. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, there is none. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Yud. Vamar Malka Lohaman Ochi Sav Yos. Ochi means to take. Ochi means to take. Ochi sav yos levush. These two words together mean they mean to take yos levush argivana, the purple garments. Vios susia and the horse kemodi ma lelta, as you have spoken. Va'avat ken Mordechai Yehuda, and you should do to sow to Mordechai. Now look what happens here in the Targum. Targum embellishes. Omar lehaman le'eden Mordechai osiv. Which Mordechai? Le'edin Mordechai, which Mordechai osiv le'malka does the king want me to do? The Mordechai, so osiv le'malka, the king responded. What do you mean, which Mordechai? Mordechai ha'Yehudi, the Mordechai Yehuda, Mordechai the Jew. Amar le'i. Haman said, "Sagin Mordechai Yehudai is b'Shusha." There are a lot of Mordechais in the city of Shusha. Take out the phone book. Take out your smartphone and type in Mordechai HaYehudi, and you'll discover there are many Mordechais that are Jews in Shushan. Osav leMalka laHahu. I'm referring to that Mordechai, this Sadras Esther Le Sanhedrin. This we mentioned many times. The one whom my wife Esther commissioned, who sponsored a Sanhedrin in the gate of the palace, Bisra Palterin, at the gate of the palace, the Malka, period. Amle Haman, Bevominach. So Haman says, Kitol Yosiv le Sigzer alai kipiskamo hadain. Haman said to Achashverosh, I would rather die, you should decree upon me death than humiliate me to take my arch enemy and parade him through the street and give him this honor. Absolutely. Amle Malka, Ochoi v'losimna midam. Ochoi means go. V'losimna midam. I don't want to hear from this nonsense from you. Ochoi means proceed. Proceed. V'losimna, do not withhold midam anything. Now notice here the Targum, I told you that's the word I focused on. We read the pasuk V'lo al tapel. I told you the word tapel comes in the lashon of nefila. Targum is not saying that. Targum is saying the word, it means simna. do not withhold, do not deny any of the requirements that I've put upon you. Midam min kol ma de ma lilta. So to review, we have over here an incredible chidushim in this targum. Number one, Haman played dumb. Which Mordechai? I mean, it's a shocking thing. This conversation is a shock. What is Mordechai? Mordechai. Which Mordechai? The Mordechai, the Jew. The Jew. There are many Jews that have the name Mordechai. Exactly. Excellent. Exactly what I was trying to come to. Exactly what I was trying to come to, that there's some type of psychology that is played out over here. Either Haman was in a state of denial. Okay, this emphasizes the shock, the utter shock. This, the last person in the world that he would expect the king to demand, receive honor, was Mordechai Hayehudi Yosha Bishar HaMelech, and had to be brought out in piece, what's it called, piecemeal, one little thing at a time. First, Mordechai Hayehudi, and then finally Hayoshev Bishar Melech, exactly what we have by Avraham and the Akedah. Kachnas Bincha, which Bincha? I have two sons. Es Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, Es Yitzchak. We went through all the different stages in order to lighten the shock upon Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first brought it out slowly. Here as well, this was brought out slowly to Haman. He should come to terms with what he has to do. Because maybe it could very well be that if Mordechai, if he actually thought, Chazal tell us that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, Kach es Yitzchak, V'lech l'chol eretz hamariv, halil liyot ha'chas b'no, it could very well be that Avraham would have failed in the Nisoyon. There is such a Chazal. Because the shock was too great even for Avraham to come to terms with. He would have right away denied it. And would have said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And there's a lot of psychology going into anything. Anytime you go and ask a person to do something, when you want to convince a person to go out with a girl, shidduchim. Right? So if you say the wrong thing, I know firsthand, you say the wrong thing, people, they turn you off. They turn you off in an instant. They say the wrong thing. But if you say the right thing, there's a technique, there's a chachman, how to get to a person's mind. Chazal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told Avraham, Kach es Yitzchak, it might have triggered a very frightening response, Hashem, I can't do this. And in fact, according to many of the Farshim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do the Akedah, it was not a demand, it was a request. You have a choice. Kach no, ein no, Ella l'shoin bakasha. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, it will not be held against you. Klal Yisrael is not going to be the same. Obviously, if the Avraham would not have passed the tenth Nisayon, it would have been a different Klal Yisrael. It would not have been the same Adreg. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sfas Emes, says very strongly, Avraham was not forced to do the Akedah. If he would not have done the Akedah, it would have been business as usual. Everything would have gone on. It's not the same, of course, the Madrega and the Zuchus Ovas. The whole Nusach of the Rosh Hashanah would have been very different. We're not going to go say the whole Nusach of Zuchronos is that we focus on the great mitzvah on the Akedah. But Avraham was not expected to do this. If Hashem would have said to Avraham, Kach nas Yitzchak, it might have triggered a very negative, a very frightening reaction. He would have said, I can't do it. And that would have come to the end. But because of Kadosh Baruch Hu with Chesed says, Bincha, slowly, one of your children, which one? Maybe it's Yishmael. That's a possibility. Es Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, Es Yitzchak. Slowly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu slowly eased them into doing this. Hashem used the ultimate form of psychology to chokhmah of psychology to convince Avraham that you can do it, it's possible for you to do it. That's how he survived. Same thing over here. If Haman would not have paraded Mordechai in the street, the miracle would not necessarily have been come about in the same way. This whole, we'll come to that in a few moments, that this whole episode is very bizarre. Why in general was it necessary for this part of the story to be part of the miracle? What would have been if Esther, after fasting for 3 days, would come to Achashverosh and would beg him and would say kinim and come invite him to two parties, and then finally say kinim karnu anivi amil hashmid laharug laabed, and would tell him the entire thing? So there's a real possibility that Achashverosh would say, okay, you're right, I didn't realize this, such a terrible gzera, I changed my mind. Why is it necessary, this whole thing over here, that Haman, in the middle of this whole story, Haman has to be humiliated and Mordechai has to be elevated? It's a very tough question. why is this part of the story essential for the miracle of Purim, this event of Haman, of what happens in the middle of the night, and doing this whole thing. But we'll get to that in a few moments, but for whatever reason it was essential that this thing indeed should happen. And if Ahasuerus would have used different words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have put into the mind of Ahasuerus words that were different, it could very well be Haman would not be able to fulfill his request. If according to the Targum says that Haman said to Ahasuerus, I'd rather die, I'd rather be put to death than fulfill this request, it could be he would have committed suicide. If he would have said to him, go take Mordechai HaYehudi HaYosheh B'Shar HaMelech and not give him a few moments to go through the process. Which Mordechai? Mordechai the Jew. Which Mordechai the Jew? I know a lot of Jews whose name is Mordechai. Mordechai HaYosheh B'Shar HaMelech, if he would have been thrown upon him the shock in one moment, Mordechai HaYehudi B'Shar HaMelech, Haman himself says, I'd rather die. He may have taken out a cyanide pill and swallowed it and given up his life right then and there, would have committed suicide because he could not hear that, and then this part of the story would not have come about. And if this part of the story of the Purim miracle would not have come about, which obviously is essential, whatever the reason is, then the whole story of the Purim would have been a different story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a machshava in the mind of Ahasuerus to say it slowly, Mordechai. There was a pause. Which Mordechai? Mordechai HaYehudi. Which Mordechai HaYehudi? HaYoshe B'Shar HaMelech. And then this thing indeed, Haman already got used to the situation. You can get used to anything. Memele came to be. Yeah.
The purpose is not to stress on Haman, but maybe to elevate Mordechai in the eyes of the Jews.
Okay.
Roy Vechov.
Okay, so let's indeed talk. Why was this part of the miracle essential? So I saw two ideas. Idea number one is, Mordechai gathered all of the Jewish people to be mispala. Lech kinoises kol Yehuda. This idea is a little bit Kabbalistic. It's not simple. We have a principle: ein chavush matir atzmo mibeis suasurim. A prisoner cannot release himself from prison. In order to save someone or to save yourself, you have to be on the outside. You have to be removed. Removed to some degree from the situation. If you're outside of prison, then you can work on. Let's say, for example, a person is in prison, in a dungeon with many people, and you want to escape. If you're also locked up, you're also in prison, there's nothing you can do. I can't help myself. If I can't help myself, I certainly can't help you. But if one of the prisoners is released, he's now on the outside, he's in the free world, now he can work to release his comrades that are locked up in prison. The entire Klal Yisrael was in a matziv of sakana. L'hashmid l'harug l'abedis kol ha'ayudim, Mordechai and the whole Klal Yisrael. There's a 3-day fast. The fast, when a person is in the frame of mind of a person in the Esara is so low, there's so little self-esteem and self-worth, there's a deficiency in the Koyach Hatzila. A person has to see a mahalach, have to see that maybe you can do something. In order for Mordechai to continue fasting for to help Klal Yisrael, he had to be released from the tzara. It's not so clear what this means. I saw this in the sefer called the Oil Moshe, right? Shineman over here on Avenue P. He has a lot of svarim. It's a lot of chosh v'svarim. So he elaborates upon this idea, and he explains. I don't know if it's his idea. He's quoting from other sources, but he develops the idea, right? Shineman. Or Shineman, he has
24th and B.
24. It's a very chashuv Talmud Chacham. Very. He has a lot of very chashuv svarim called oil. I think oil Moshe. But the point is that Mordechai here was released from the tzara to some degree. If Mordechai is being paraded in the street, it's very unlikely that Mordechai is going to be killed. If in 11 months from now, when they open up the letters, Lios Asidim Al Yom Hazeh, and they open up the letter, and the letter it says, L'hashmid L'harug L'avetz Kol HaYehudim, oh, Mordechai, let's go get Mordechai. Everyone knows Mordechai. Mordechai? Who would dare, even though it says in the letter, Lios Asidim L'Yom Hazeh, who would dare kill Mordechai when 11 months ago Mordechai was paraded in the streets with royal garments, the same garments that the king wore on the day of his coronation, with the same horse the king used, and in fact, in the Targum Sheni, and the Targum Sheni elaborates upon this in great detail, exactly which horse. They have horses from all different parts of the world, and they specify there was a special horse that came from this part of the world, and a special garment that was produced in this part of the world. Mordechai was given the ultimate honor possible in the world. Who would then dare lift up a finger to touch, to kill Mordechai? So even though on the books Mordechai is subject to execution, to death, no one's going to do it. So now Mordechai is out of prison. Mordechai, basically you have prisoners. If you're long, you're in prison. Long, you're in a dungeon. You can't help anyone. I can't help myself. How am I going to help everyone here get out of this dungeon? But now, when one prisoner escapes, he's in the outside world. He can begin plotting and planning and negotiating and lobbying and doing anything in his power to bring freedom to his comrades. Mordechai, through this event, was practically removed from the Gezerah. Now when he was out of the Gezerah, he's in a different frame of mind. He's no longer called Chavosh Bebeis Hoasurim. Immediately it says, after this whole event took place, Mordechai returned. What does it say over here? After they gave him this honor, it says he returned El Shar HaMelech, and Rashi says he put back on his sackcloth. He returned to fasting. Vayoshav Mordechai Pasuk Yibez El Shar HaMelech. And what does Rashi say? Lesakoy ulitaniso, to his sackcloth and to his fasting. But Mordechai is free. The Gezerah, as far as he is concerned, is over. No one would dare kill Mordechai anymore. Exactly. Now that Mordechai is no longer the Chavosh, his tefillah, his koyach of tefillah for someone else has been expanded exponentially. So Mordechai, he wants to daven, he starts davening. You want to daven, Mordechai? I'll give you an opportunity to daven even better. How am I going to have you daven even better? I'm going to take you out of the Gezerah, and if you're out of the Gezerah, it's no longer for you. Kol ha-mispalel, you'll be together, kol ha-mispalel ba'at chaveira. He was I don't mean that Chazal, I mean here he's no longer in the category of ein chavush matir atzma mibei soasurim. Until now he's part of the klal and he can't help himself, so I can't really, my tefillah is not going to be able to be effective to help you. But now that I'm no longer in the gzera, okay, again I'm just saying words, he develops this idea, but it's an interesting idea. At least it opens up a little teeny Pesach to get an understanding of why this was necessary. The Geula, the Yeshua, already began to sprout here with one person. With one person. Once one person is a Pesach, already there's a solution to find a solution for the problem. We all know that. Anytime you're dealing with a problem in business or in anything in life, if you're completely locked in and there's no solution, then you're miyayish. But once already there's a glimmer of hope, there's a teeny little Pesach, there's a vulnerability in this problem. Once you have that vulnerability, even though you're going up against the odds, you have something to work with. There's an opening over here. Once Mordechai already was a free man, now it's a different type of tefillah, it's a different situation he's able to accomplish on behalf of the rest of Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's one time. Another explanation why this was necessary is because you learn this from Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is the derech of Geula in Klal Yisrael. Yitzias Mitzrayim took place, first we were redeemed, we were redeemed, and then Egypt was destroyed. At the time of Yitzias, we went out to the Yam, and the Yam, Kriyas Yamsuf, basically was the Chorbin of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was still, even though the firstborns were killed, but Mitzrayim was a functional society. It was a vibrant society. When did Egypt Was it destroyed? It was destroyed at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf took place after the Geula for Klal Yisrael. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings salvation for Klal Yisrael, first he brings it in two steps. He first brings the Geula, and then he brings the punishment for our enemies. Why? Malchus it didn't destroy the country. It softened them up, right? It softened up the country, but there was still hope for the country to come back, to reemerge. Okay, there was still potential for Mitzrayim to be a player, a major player in the global economy. But after Kriyas Yamsuf, when all of the 600 chariots and all of the soldiers, the army, the military was obliterated, and all of the Bizas Mitzrayim was taken away, that was the end of Mitzrayim. Here too, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu won. Now, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it in this fashion? Before Hashem destroys the enemy, He wants to show them that Klal Yisrael has survived. Hashem wants to show the enemy that, look, you think you can harm Hashem's chosen nation? You're a fool. Look, Klal Yisrael has survived, and they will always survive. Now that we've made that clear, now we're going to destroy you. It was necessary that Mordechai should be elevated in front of the eyes of Haman, because if Mordechai, who represents Klal Yisrael, was elevated by Haman himself, Haman now came to the realization that indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu has won, and now now the time for Haman is for him to be destroyed. The derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always to bring it about in two complete separate steps. If this event would not have happened, and Esther would have gone to Achashverosh and would have begged Achashverosh to save Klal Yisrael, it would have been in one moment. In one moment, kill Haman is an ihu ish at ish tsar v'oyev Haman hara hazeh. So he said, if that's what Esther would have said without this step, Haman would have been killed. Haman would not have seen the salvation, the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. He would have been put to death instantly. But now he would not have been given an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation of Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael's salvation. By doing it in two different steps, first, Haman is humiliated. He is required to parade Mordechai in the street. He sees the greatness of Mordechai. He already got a full taste that he has failed in his plan. Then is the second step. Second step is where he is put to death. Because that's another reason why. And these two ideas really don't fully answer the question of why this was necessary. But it does open up a little bit of an explanation, these two separate ideas. Yeah?
But Haman did not see the ultimate battle.
No, he did not. He was killed immediately. Exactly, that is correct. Haman did not see, correct, he did not see the battle, he did not see the fall. But at least he got a sense. He got a sense of appreciation of the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The irony was so awesome that he, from all people, has to be the one to parade Mordechai HaYehudi B'Shar HaMelech. It was a lesson which completely changed his whole outlook on life and recognition. Hashem HaTzadik V'ani V'ani HaRashayim. It had to have made a major impact. We mentioned this a few times. It was
just used the lotion of Paro.
Yeah,
it's a similar idea that Yamsuf was necessary for Paro and the Mitzrayim to witness.
Paro was the only one who survived. Paro was the only one who survived, but they already saw the salvation of a Klal Yisrael when they left. I mean, what more do you want to see? They left. That was their destruction. Kriyas Yamsuf was their destruction. But they already saw the salvation of Klal Yisrael. They're sitting home, and Klal Yisrael are leaving. They're packing up. 600,000 men, 3 million Jews, packing up and leaving Egypt. What more do you possibly want? They saw. Now we have some business to take care of, some loose ends. You know, you caused them very great harm. You have to be destroyed. You have to be punished. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to chase after Klal Yisrael for them to drown in the Yamsuf. I mentioned this to you a few times. It was a person. The person, he did research, and subsequently I saw this. A lot of goyim also went into this. Hitler. Did Hitler survive the war? So everyone's, of course, we're going to shtus. What kind of nonsense? Hitler, of course, he was killed in a bunker. He was killed in a bunker at the end of the war. but a lot of classified information has come out in the last number of years. Not so simple. Okay, it's still conspiracy theories, but it's really not. So they even had the Jewish websites. They found a tunnel. They actually found a tunnel recently. It's total okay,
conspiracy theories.
But the more you read, it's very interesting. It's definitely very interesting. The classified conversations between Roosevelt. Okay,
yeah.
So they asked the person, there was a person, okay, it's not relevant if it's true or not, that's not the point. The point I want to make is they asked the person, there was a person that did a lot of new research. So they asked him, what are you digging up, what are you clicking, what are you looking for to make trouble? Don't you realize just the mention of Hitler, it causes so much tsar to all of the survivors, all the families? Whatever it was, doesn't make a difference at this point in time. When he died, this, that. So he says, no, there's something very important to me. If I am correct that Hitler really survived, he escaped to Argentina, you know what that means? It means he lived to see the establishment of the State of Israel. And that's a very powerful line. It's a very powerful statement. That's why I'm willing to put all this. I want it to be that he should have lived, because that's the ultimate revenge. He should see the establishment of a State of Israel. What more could you possibly want? That idea is really expressed here in the Megillah. The Megillah, this was a necessary step. It is necessary for Haman to be the one parading Mordechai HaYehudi with the honor that Haman wanted for himself. This is the ultimate revenge, the ultimate recognition, Hashem HaTzadik. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and he's in charge, and don't think you can do what you want. So that is why we need, this step is critical, in Yetzias Mitzrayim it's critical. It opens up a little bit of an understanding of why we have this piece of information over here.
Zeresh delivers the
final blow. Zeresh delivers the final. Okay, let's see.
Yeah, but you know, in life, my experience in life has been that Rashaim, people, they never learn. I mean, that's almost the definition of a Rasha. They never learn. No matter what happens, they keep on doing the same thing they're doing,
but there is an awareness. You can't say that there is no awareness. You can't say that it doesn't make any impression upon them. There's a balance. You're right, it's correct. And I'll show you even in the next pasuk over here, it seems to say what you're saying.
The Jewish community, you know, they can see that the whole world is falling apart, yet they become even more and more striving.
There's nothing you can do, because they feel they're in a state of despair. Okay, Enochanan, look, we mentioned many times all of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im gave over very harsh words of Musa to Klal Yisrael during the time of the Ba'al Yesheni, and it's all recorded for posterity. For what purpose? It didn't make a difference. Yeshaya is screaming away, Yirmiyah screaming, the Treyasar, they're all giving Musa. Did it make a dent in Klal Yisrael? The Churban came. They all said prophecy during, leading up to the Churban Ba'al Yesheni. So all of their words, order off a duck, It didn't make a dent in Klal Yisrael. The proof is in the pudding. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So the Farsha Lefa, why even bother recording? Why do we have to have 24 Sibri Tanakh? What's the purpose? So the Farsha would say, no, it didn't make a difference. Even though at the time, it was not enough to influence the people to change their approach at the moment in order to spare the Churban, but it sunk in at least to the degree that after the Churban, they would remember these words, change their ways, and create a glimmer of hope that there would be a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, which indeed there was, the Ba'al Yesheni, and that carries on even to the Gula Shleima. So even though on the surface it appears that doesn't make a difference, business as usual, deep down it does make an impression, and later in life it comes out. How many times do you hear stories of people later in life, they're telling over stories about their third grade Rebbe, their fourth grade Rebbe, the Rebbe in third grade and fourth grade is teaching them, and the Rebbe goes home at the end of the day, what am I wasting my time with these children? They don't listen to me, they're not interested, they have much more, they have more other things on their mind. You don't realize it's not so. Every situation creates an impression. That impression is a seed in the mind of a young person. And as the person develops and matures, those seeds germinate. And you don't realize what effect it has on the person. So over here, Haman is in denial, obviously. We're going to even see that in a few moments. But yet, we don't know what happens in the next world, what goes on. But this was an important thing for the wicked person, the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, to have a recognition, Hashem HaTzadik, V'ani V'ami HaRashayim. So let's go further. So we're going over here back to Past Parrot, who... continue to insulif for this again. It's very fascinating. Targum. Now we go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ayikach Haman. One thing I just wanted left out. Pasuk Yud. Vayemelch Haman Maher. Why was it necessary that it should be done in a state of haste? Came Maher. Well, silly, because the party. There was a party coming up very soon. Esther said, "I want you, Mordechai." Esther said, "I want you and the king Achashverosh and Haman to come to my party." Achashverosh was very disturbed. What is she going to ask me at this party? Maybe my life is in danger. What's going on over here? He was desperate to find information. Someone should come forward and reveal secret information. So this must be done immediately. There's no time to dilly-dally, because the party is only in a few hours. This thing must come about very, very quickly, so I'll be able to know what the situation is. So, in advance of the party that I attend.
If Mordechai gets a reward,
then people will come forward.
He knew already the relationship of Mordechai and Esther. So he said, maybe after the reward,
I'll get a text. Maybe someone will send out a text before the party. The party is at 12 o'clock. This is going to be done at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to take more than an hour. So between 10, 11, 12, we've got 3 hours. Maybe someone in this B'Shushan Abira will come forward and reveal new secret information. So they also get this beautiful reward of being paraded in the street and receiving all this honor. So that's why it was of utmost importance that it should be done in a state of haste. That's a simple interpretation. The Medrash says it was done in haste in reward for Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when the Malachim came, he said, Mahari, what's the pasuk? Mari? Mahari, Kach, Kach Sim,
Mahari,
Lushi, he quickly, Avraham, he quick, when the Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu, to greet, he, Hachnosas Orchim, quickly did he insist that they should be served food. There was no time to dilly-dally. So obviously there is some connection. There is some connection between the Hachnosas Orchim of Avraham Avinu and this. And what the connection is, I leave for you. That's all the Medrash says.
Well,
yeah, you have a connection?
Geula,
very good. Okay, so you want to say that the Geula, this is not the Geula Hasida. Okay, that's another idea. Mahari Kach Seim Shloch Seim Kemachsolas. Okay, so you want to say that this idea ties into the Chipazon doctrine, the Chipazon, the idea where the any Geula that is not the Geula Hasida will take place in a state of haste. Just like Yitzias Mitzrayim took place b'chipazon. B'chipazon means, because it says in the pasuk, where it says it maybe in Yeshaya, ki loik b'chipazon yetzaro, that the Geula Ho'asida will not take place in a state of haste. It will take place slowly. It will give us time to fully appreciate the revach, his spleen, the inyan, to appreciate the miracles of Kodesh Baruch Hu. But any Geula, miracle that takes place,
b'chipazon.
Shlach Nabi Atishlach.
No, he said that it's not going to happen right away. It's not going to happen immediately.
No, but once it happens,
until God says that Moshe is on board. He doesn't say.
But once it happens right at one. But once
God says that it's not going to happen right away, then he says get somebody else.
No, but once the moment of Geula, the actual moment of Geula unfolds very quickly. That's why Karm Pesach is even in the state of B'chipazon. Makelchem B'yetchem, and the Yishun Aleichem, Raglechem, these are all expressions of swiftness. Even though the moment when it will happen was not yet known, when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, but when it did, when it came time to carry out, it carried out very quickly. Why? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us to sit down at the table and eat the Karban Pesach without taking off our shoes in a relaxed state of mind? No, because it's not the Geula HaSida. The Geula HaSida, that will take place in a state of calm and presence of mind in order to fully enjoy and grasp the miracle. Here as well, this is not the Geula HaSida. This is a Geula, and this Geula is a Maisa of a similar Banim. There are many poor miracles in the history of Klal Yisrael, but all the poor miracles in the history of Klal Yisrael are patterned after this miracle. It's Maher. It's going to be done very quickly because it's not the ultimate Geula. Okay, beautiful idea from Rabbi Michal. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayikach Hamanas Levush Viasasus. He took the levushes. Vayilashes Mordechai. Vayar Kiveu Berchayvu Ir. And he drove him. Berchayvu Ir. Vayikwal Lefanav Kocha Yaselo Ish Asher Hamelcha Feitz Bikaro. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Udvar Haman Yos Levush Ar Givana. And he took. Udvar means he took the purple tunic, the Yosus on the horse, the Albish Yos Mordechai. He dressed him. The Ar Kivine, and he drove him. Bif Sa'ah de Karta in the Rechov Ha'ir. Okay, Bif Sa'ah, yesterday means the town square, in the public place. The Kales Kodomoy, and he praised. He raised up his voice in praise. Kidei like this, Yisave Legavro di Malkot Save, who wants to be great, who wants to honor. Now we all know their famous Midrashim when he came to get Mordechai. Mordechai was filthy. Mordechai was in sackcloth and afer, and Mordechai did not take a haircut in a very long time. So he said, "I got to take you." And everyone is watching. If I don't go do the job, the way I'm spelled, Al Tapel Davar, there was a special demand, Al Tapel Davar, Mikol Asher Dibarta, I should not do it with any diminishment. As we mentioned, the Sim Temptation, Lefila. If I don't do the job 100%, I am going to be punished. And they're watching me. So you can't take you in dirty clothing. You can't smell. We have to have a good haircut. So therefore, Haman himself had to bathe. Can you imagine? Had to bathe, scrub down, and then a haircut. He had to pull out his old, all the barbers, it says here that all the barber shops were closed. This was a public holiday this day, whatever it was the clothes.
She had all the
shops,
houses,
the barber shops.
Barber shops closed.
Barbershops and the bathhouses were shut down for the day. Therefore, Haman himself had to warm up the bath, had to chop wood, prepare the bath, to bathe, to scrub Mordechai. Haman had to give him a haircut. And Haman, that was his original profession. It was considered to be a very lowly profession to be a barber. What? If you make parnasa, it's nothing as a lowly profession. If you make an honor, right. And Haman, he now was the Mishnah Lamelech, he was the second in command, but he used to be a barber. He used to be a lowly barber. And he went back to square one. This was the ultimate humiliation. He went, had to go to home and take out his old tools. We were looking in the basement to find his scissors and his shavers and his shaving cream and his razors. Right, and I go to the all of the implements of the barber. He had in the basement. He had to retrieve them, and you can imagine the memories and the frustration that he experienced in retrieving the kelim and giving him a haircut. Finally, when he put on the clothing, he cleaned him. He gave him a haircut. He said, "Okay, Mordechai, get on the horse." Mordechai says, "I have no koyach. I've been fasting for 3 days. I need a step ladder." So they couldn't find the stepladder. So Mordechai said, "Why don't you get down on your knees, and I'll step on your back, and I'll step. You'll be my stepladder." And as he bent down, in fact, it says in the Medrash that he kicked him. "You good for nothing. You're my slave. You're my slave. Don't ever forget. You're my Eved Kenani." He kicked him. And then he stepped on his back to ascend the horse of the king, the beast, right? The beast is the code for Obama's, for the president's limo. He ascended the beast. They have at least two. They have more than one beast. They have two. They have two beasts. They have two Air Force Ones. You know that? They're exact replicas. The Biduk. Exact replicas, and they have two beasts. Two of these exact replicas, at least two of them. Helicopters, they have many helicopters. Marine One, they have like 20 of them. And they take them apart, they ship them all over the world in preparation.
They use them for decoys.
The decoys, it's amazing how much money they spend on this. This is just off the charts. Okay, so...
Like golf courts.
Golf course, vacations. Okay, so this is what he had to do. The humiliation was unreal. Okay, let's go for the pasuk Yibeis Vayoshev Mordechai El Shar HaMelech. This pasuk can very well be the most important pasuk of the entire Megillah. According to the Ohel Moshe, this pasuk, that's not only his idea, is the most important pasuk. It's a shocking statement to say such a thing, right? But the truth is it is. Vayoshev Mordechai El Shar HaMelech Vamo Nidchaf El Beiso Ovel V'chafui Rosh. What does Rashi say? Pasuk Yibeis Vayoshev Mordechai, he returned L'sako Ulita Aniso, to his sackcloth and to his fasting. And Haman returned Ovel v'chafui rosh. What exactly happened to him? He was a mourner. He was an avelus. How did it happen? Rabbi Seinu Perishu Hadavar v'lesecht Megillah. His daughter saw Haman's daughter was standing on top in their home, and they saw a person being paraded in the street on a royal horse in royal clothing, and someone was walking before him, and she heard rumors, I guess, that it was Mordechai and Haman. She heard rumors. Do you see what's going on in the street? Mordechai and Haman are in the street. So she looks out the window and she sees two people. One is on the horse and one is leading as a slave. She figures, has to be that it's my father who's on the horse. My father was planning to exterminate the Jewish people. And Mordechai is saying it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the humiliation in order to get the people ready. Lios asidim layoim hazeh, to humiliate the Gadol Hadar, Mordechai HaYehudi. That's the only way it can be understood. So she took a bedpan full of urine, what? A chamber pot, urine, excrement, and she, from the window, she cast it on, I guess she had good aim, she cast it down on who she thought was Mordechai. After it landed, this person lifted up his head. Who did that? Who had the chutzpah to throw on me the chamber pot? And he looks up and he sees it's his daughter. They make eye contact. The daughter realizes something's really wrong. How could it possibly be in general that Mordechai has been elevated and Haman has been demoted? And how could it be that I was mevazeh my father in public? This is something for the tabloids to start clicking and to show that his own daughter. So she committed suicide. She jumped from that where she was. She died. Haman was distraught. He was now in Ovel. He was also in a state of humiliation. Chafui Rosh. He was in a state of shame. He was filthy, dirty. His... What?
Because of the last person that Haman was screaming at them, Mordechai, so they say his voice got hoarse. That's why she didn't recognize.
That's why.
That's why she didn't recognize.
That's what it says.
Who's the Spartan rabbi that I've got his name now?
His voice got hoarse, it says. It is a very difficult question. How? Why did she even suspect it was her father? He's coming to make note of that this is a very great difficulty. Why would she even suspect it was her father? If she did not see who it was, she only saw after he raised up his head to look at her, so why would she even have a hava amina to think that it's Mordechai? Let's say it wasn't Mordechai. Let's say it was... What?
Why would she have a hava amina to think that was her father down
there? Right, exactly. Why would she have her father was being paraded. Who was parading her father? Mordechai?
The guy who was parading.
Why Mordechai?
Was dressed like sorry part of me.
Yeah.
So could be that Haman was higher than part of me. So suddenly Haman had to take off his lavush and put on the Sarai apartment. He had a dress like a horseback.
The Sarai. No, he had a dress like someone very distinguished. Sarai apartment was distinguished.
More distinguished.
So not she. Not.
Okay, it seems that she thought, from Chazal it appears, that this the daughter of Haman thought that the person upon whom she was throwing the chamber pot was Mordechai. Why would she think he was Mordechai? Mordechai, he would be an officer, someone distinguished, someone not distinguished. Why would she even think he was Mordechai? Obviously, we have to say on a very simple level that there was rumors and people were talking, look who's in the street, Mordechai and Haman. She heard that these two people are parading and they're walking in the street, but she didn't not hear the details, who is who? Who is on the horse, who is on foot? So she made, it has to be, it cannot, if these two represent are Haman and Mordechai, there's no way in the world Mordechai is going to be on the horse and Haman's going to be on the ground. It has to be. Okay, you're saying another idea is that their voices were similar, which is a very interesting idea because what Yaakov and Esav were twins. Let's not deny the fact. Twins, even though Chazal said that Esav was hairy, sometimes twins are not identical, but even when you don't have identical twins, twins are very similar. It's a mitzias. Yaakov and Esav may have, what?
Shimshon and Paul Hurst said they were identical twins.
They were identical twins.
Today's
the Yartza. Okay, Zchus Yogi Delenu. Shamshon Fal Hirsch. Of Shamshon Fal Hirsch. Okay, so if they were identical twins, now that's a little bit difficult because it says that Esav was Asui, he was already finished. He was already hairy. It just means he was more developed, but they were identical twins, possibly. Okay, Enochanai. But the point of here is we always have in Halacha, in Hashkafa, Ze Luuma Ze Bara Elokim. They're always balanced. There's equals. There's always a room to make a mistake. Which one is which? It could very well be that maybe they were very similar. Mordechai, I mean, to say such thing is a little bit of a stretch. But Mordechai, if the fact that she made a mistake, maybe she saw someone who she really thought was Mordechai. Because maybe Mordechai and Haman resembled one another physically. If Yaakov and Esav resembled one another, as he's saying from Shamshon and Fal Hirsch, they were identical twins, and we always have a principle in Hashkafa, Ze l'uma ze bara Elokim, Mordechai represents the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael, Esav represents Amalek, the koyach of Tuma of Amalek, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu always has a system of Zelu Mazeh. It could be that they look similar. And when she looked down and she saw a person walking in the street, she actually, this person in her eyes, looked just like her looked like Mordechai. And Mordechai happened to look just like Haman. Because there is such a koyach in this world of Zel Umazeh Bar Elokim, and it takes a certain degree of Kedusha to be able to differentiate between Toivara. You have to know. And she indeed made that mistake. Now this whole speculation does not say any of this inside, but it is a good question, and he's saying something more that he was screaming in the street, Kochli Asalish, he lost his voice now sounded like Mordechai, and that also led to her making this mistake. Now I mentioned before, this pasuk is one of the most important psukim in the Megillah. Why do I say that? So the Oil Moish explains, that Shimon explains as follows. What if you ask the average person, what is the most important pasuk of the Megillah? Ask the average person. So many people who understand the essence of the Megillah will tell you, Leich Kinos Eskol HaYehudim. That's really what it's all about. The story of the Megillah is, Leich Kinos Eskol HaYehudim, Hanim Tzim B'Shushan, V'Tzumu Olai, V'Al Tochlu, V'Al Tishlu, Shloi Shemim, Laila V'Yom, Gamani V'Narasai, Otzum Kain. That's what it's all about. There's always tzaris in Klal Yisrael, and the only way to overcome the tzaris is the koyach of tefillah, the koyach of achdus, coming together. I think everyone will readily have no problem with this, with saying that pasuk is a central theme in the Megillah. But here, Mordechai already is past that. Mordechai, as we mentioned before, the tzara already is over. It's not only on the individual level. If you look at the Mefarshim, it seems that this event was such a world-changing event. Everything would have followed the Mela. Right? Everything already is on the right track. If Mordechai HaYehudi, the Rosh of Klal Yisrael, is being paraded in the street in royal garments, it said everything is going well. Does Mordechai now need to rush home and take off the wool garments, and we put back the sack and the sakoi and the sackcloth, and we resume fasting, you would say not. I'm going to go home, I'm going to learn a daf gemara, have a nice meal, take a shower, and Baruch Hashem, we're on the right track, and we'll have tomorrow, instead of saying the whole Tehillim, we'll just say three kapitel chav Tehillim in order to make sure that everything goes according to plan. The fact that Mordechai went back, he did not allow this, did not deter him from continuing to be mispalel, belev sholem, is a gili, was a revelation of the sincerity, of the depth, of the intensity of the original Lech Kenosis Kol HaYudim HaNimsim B'Shushan. It was just a superficial gathering. It's just a superficial asif. Everyone comes together to be mispalel. Oh, as soon as you get word that everything is okay, you're the first one out the door. But if you're really sincere and you use this as an opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because you get good word, everything is going okay, the doctor comes out in the middle of surgery and says, everything is going according to plan, everything is okay, it doesn't make a dent. The Koyach HaTzila is the same degree of intensity. This is a gilui, is a revelation of the intensity of the Lech Kenos Kol HaYehudim from the very beginning. The fact that it's willing to return. In fact, there's an interesting halacha, this really fair shemish in the Gemara Masechta Tainus. The Gemara Masechta Tainus says if there's an Eitz Tzara and it does not rain, so they issue a set of fasts. What happens if in the middle of the set, they fast up to 13 sets, 13 fast days or 13 sets, what happens if they're up to series number 4, and the sky opens up and it begins to rain? So do you cancel all the fasts? So the Mishnah says that the Hamoinam, yes, they stop fasting, but the Tzadikim, the Tznuim, the discreet ones, they continue fasting all the way to the very end, even though the Tzara is over. Because the Kabbalah, to show that your Kabbalah was a sincere Kabbalah, you have to carry it out all the way to the very end, because you have to realize that Tzara is here to bring you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're going to stop in the middle, you're not going to achieve the full closeness of that you're trying to gain through the fast. Every time you fast, when you're in a series of fast days, every additional fast, you come even closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're going to stop in the middle, you'll never reach the ultimate closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if the Tzara came to an end, so I don't need to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Tzara was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem takes away the Daiga, takes away the Tzara. Oh, took away the Tzara, so I don't need to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That wasn't the reason why I brought the Tzara. I brought the Tzara, you should come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just like in the Gemara Masechta Tainus says that the Tzaddikim would continue to finish up the entire series, even though the Tzara came to an end, that's exactly what Mordechai over here is doing. The Tzara is coming to an end, but still, Mordechai returns Vayoshav Mordechai El Shar HaMelech. This is the complement to Lech Kenos Es Kol HaYehudim. Lech Kenos Kol HaYehudim was the Kabbalah. This is the indication that the Kabbalah was sincere. It was for real. He was willing to continue. Now, Haman was Nitchaf El Beis Ovel. Now, this is the Lamash of Ovel V'Chafirash. If you were writing the Megillah, What would you? Which words would you put in first? Would you put the words Chafuyrash first or the word Ovel first? You would probably put the word Chafuyrash. Chafuy means he was put to shame. He was put to shame because he looked up from the window. He saw that his daughter, threw garbage on him. And then afterwards, when his daughter saw they made eye contact, she then commits suicide. She jumped off the window, off the balcony, and she died. So first there was Chafuyrash. And second, there was Avelis. So the order is in reverse. Right? You really hear the question? It should say, Haman nidchav al yoso, chafui roish ve'ovel. So this is a technical olam l'shevart. This goes to sugya b'masech b'vakama. Well, what happens if you have a utensil? Here's a shayla, interesting shayla. You have a utensil, and I throw the utensil off the roof. It's not my property. I take a glass vase and I throw it off the roof. And as I'm a ganef, I'm chayav to pay for the damage. When am I chayav to pay for the damage? When it lands and it shatters. Before this utensil shatters, someone comes along, target practice, and he shoots an arrow and he shatters the utensil on its way down, who is chayef to pay for the damages? Me, because I threw it off the roof, or the person who shot the arrow? When the heat, what was the first thing to shatter the utensil? The arrow. So let him pay for it. I only threw it off the roof. I only put a koyach into the object that it would break at a later point in time. You came along and you intercepted it and you broke it before me. So you broke it first. The halacha is I'm chayef to pay. The one who threw it off the roof, when I put something into motion, I am already chayef because I put that thing into motion, and the person that came along, he shattered something which already in halacha is considered to be destroyed. Now let me tell you a different case. What happens if the object is sitting on the table and someone the other way around, and someone shoots an arrow, long distance missile, cross seas, over the Atlantic Ocean, someone's shooting a missile. It's going to take about 3 minutes to get here. It's on the way. The coordinates are locked in. It's on the way. It's coming. The missile is coming. And no one can stop it. There's no abort button. It's on the way. In the meantime, I come along and I break it. Who's chayv in this case? The person who shot the missile. Someone shot the missile from miles away, and it's going to take 3 minutes to get here. So as far as we're concerned, this utensil is worthless. It's going to be destroyed in a very short period of time. But in the meantime, before the missile arrives, I come along and I shatter it. In this case, I'm chayv. The one who shatters it is chayv. What's the difference? The difference is, even though it's true, theoretically, this thing is going to be destroyed in 3 minutes because there's a force in play that's going to destroy it, but that is an external force. The object itself is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. There's an external force in the world that is directed to destroy it. That in halacha does not at this moment in time affect the value of this utensil. Therefore, if I come along and destroy it, I'm chayef. So you have two cases that are very similar, but the halacha is the opposite. If I throw the utensil off the roof, and through gravity it's falling and falling, and now in 10 seconds it's going to shatter, and someone else comes along and breaks it, the person who breaks it in midair is potter. Because you've shattered something which already is destroyed. But if someone shoots a missile, and the thing is standing stationary, and someone comes along and shatters the utensil before the missile it hits its target, the second person is chayef. So that's exactly the idea that the Farshim bring out in this idea. Avol v'chafui rosh. When was the daughter of Haman considered dead? She was considered dead the moment she jumped off the roof. Let's say that the building was in Dubai. And how many stories are there in Dubai? 150 stories, whatever it is. So it takes a long time to fall 150 stories. The moment she fell off the top of that building, she's already dead. Oh, but it takes 60 seconds to get down to the bottom. It takes longer to fall than going on an elevator. The elevator, they have technology to get you down quicker. But falling down in free fall, it takes longer. It doesn't matter. Once she removed herself from the balcony and she was in a state of free fall, she's already dead. Even before she actually comes. The proof is, if you throw a utensil off the roof and someone comes along and shatters it in midair, you're potter. But what happens? When let's say she's on this balcony and she throws the pot, the chamber pot, the contents, and then as she's throwing it, she looks down, and who does she see down there? She sees her father. Haman looks up at that. Let's say Haman looks up. He has a commotion. A theoretical case. It's not. You can't prove this in the pasuk, but it's a theoretical idea. It's a halamish idea. She shows the daughter of Haman. She throws the garbage off the roof. Haman picks up his eyes. He sees it coming. It's going to take 60 seconds for that stuff, make believe, it takes 60 seconds for the garbage to come from the roof to the ground level. When can Haman say I'm chafui rosh? When it hits him. Because since I'm stationary, I'm not here. I need this external force to reach me. So I am not begeder chofui roish until the object makes contact with me. But Haman is already in Ovel when his daughter jumps off the roof, even though she's fully alive, because once she is put, what? Oh, so we don't know this. So if you want to go, it's not chal, but he's a guy. It's a lamed shavar. It's okay. If you wanted to, if you want, I saw this in the Goine. It's a likut. It's a likut on Megillah Esther for Goine Lita. I don't remember which one of the Goyne Elita. So all the Goyne Elita, the best Verdloch that they've.
As you can learn it, as drum it rush.
Yeah.
She threw it up.
No. That's not the case. So if you want to take the Vard, you don't have to take the Vard literally. There's a longness in the Vard, but theoretically, this is what he says, what it says there. But I don't think you should really interpret it literally. I think this is more just to interpret it in more of a longness. Literally, you can say as follows. Okay, take it very, very literally. Everything is happening in super, super quick. It's like you take a picture, right? You take a picture. So how many frames? How many frames on the new iPhone 6? What is it called? The new iPhone 6. When you take a picture, you're really taking a little video clip, right? You take like 50 pictures in one shot. So theoretically, she is standing there on the top of the roof. She looks down. She thinks that she sees Mordechai. She throws the garbage. The garbage now has been released. It's now in midair. Very good. Remember, we're slicing time here. Okay, this is a little bit far fetched, but let's do what we're doing. The garbage is in midair. It's in midair. Haman looks up. He sees it's coming. He makes eye contact, like slow motion, like really ultra slow motion. Okay, get me over here. Okay, it's halfway down. Haman looks up. He makes eye contact. They make eye contact. She says to herself, "What in the world did I do? I threw garbage on my father. I can't live with myself." She makes this decision very quickly, right? Very quickly. And she's very swift on her feet, and she decides to jump off the roof at that moment. So now, in free fall, we have two things. We have in free fall the garbage and Haman's daughter. They're both in free fall. It doesn't matter which one. The garbage is ahead. The garbage is ahead of the game. The garbage is 90% there, and she first begins her descent. In halacha, the avelos has begun before the chafli roish.
Is it all
motion? No, this is in the goine. Likute dvarim al Megillah says that migo'ine lita. Hear me out. Wait. So therefore, we have now at this moment in time two things are in free fall: the garbage and Haman's daughter. Which one has already begun? The avelos, this that we can call Haman, the Haman in Ovel, already has begun. Because since the object of Avelos is in free fall, we learned from the Gemara Masechta Bava Kama, if you throw an object, a valuable object, off a roof, it's worthless. The proof is, if someone else comes along and intercepts it, they're potter. So if she is in free fall, and she will die in a few moments, she already is considered dead. If she is dead, Haman already is in a state of Avelos. Is Haman in the category of a chafui roish for the tzoah that is about to come upon him, which he cannot escape from? No, since Haman is stationary and the tzoah is in motion, we learn in the Gemara Bava Kama that if you are stationary and something is in motion, even though it's going to happen, the object below, we don't view it at that moment in time that it already has happened. And the proof is that someone will come along and destroy the object on the ground before the other thing that's coming through the air makes contact with it. The second person who destroys it is Chayiv. So the Ovel in this case comes before the Chafui Rosh. Now, even though it's obviously very far-fetched to say all of this is happening in such swift moments of time, but being that the Lundus is correct, I think this is really what he means to say, the Lundus is correct, is that the Avelus starts, good morning, the Avelus starts immediately, and the Chafui Rosh takes time to to absorb. That is why the pasuk is arranged in this order. Not that it actually happened in this order. Obviously, al derech hateva, this took place over a period of time. But being that these two things, they start, one is an instant, and the other is a long, drawn-out process, therefore the pasuk emphasized the lumbus in writing in this particular order.
This is Einstein.
Say we have a Jew jump off the building,
that's different. When you're dealing with spiritual matters, then you can there's something. There's a different type of approach to understanding. Let's just talk in value. And monetary value. Here as well, dealing over here. What is Haman's state when he sees his daughter flying? When he sees his daughter flying in midair, it's over. He's already in a state of Avelis. So what do you want to say? This is Einstein.
Yeah, because it's the Avelis is a function of the mass of the garbage times the square of the...
Okay, let's stop over here.